Good evening. Please open your Bibles up to Galatians chapter 5. I'll be reading from there this evening on the fruits of the Spirit. Starting in verse 16, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we read, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." And I wonder, have you ever thought about that phrase, the fruits of the Spirit, and what that implies about each of these attributes? Because I think we often look at this list and we kind of expect that we should all just naturally be able to exhibit all of these qualities. And I would argue that to an extent, that is true. After all, we are made in God's image, right? So we do have some natural ability to manifest those qualities of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And certainly we all, each of us have certain strengths in some of those areas and certain weaknesses in others. But at the end of the day, it's only because we were made in God's image that we have the ability to exhibit each of these qualities. I mean, there are some intelligent animals that God has created that we look at and we say, oh, that's a kind dog, or it's gentle, right? Like, it's not hurting the baby that's next to it. Like, people like to attribute a lot of these types of qualities to animals, but none of those created animals is said to have been made in God's image, and therefore none of them is truly displaying these things. I had a wonderful dog for 13 years, and I'll tell you what, she exhibited some qualities that looked like love, and when there was food around, she really exhibited joy. But the other thing is, she had no self-control when it came to food, right? Like, she got up on the counters, and nothing would stop her, even when she probably knew it was bad for her, because she had lots of bad digestive experiences from some of these foods. She had no self-control. She couldn't stop herself, and that's just anecdotal evidence, but clearly, like, animals, as much as we might love them, they were not made in God's image. They don't have the ability to exhibit these qualities in the same way that we as humans can. So we should recognize that when we look at them, though, that we all have our own natural limits and our ability to exhibit these qualities consistently. After all, if we could do all of these things well all of the time, then you might be able to argue that man could be sinless, right? If we could do all these fruits of the spirits perfectly, of our own volition, then you might be able to make that argument. But we know that's not true. Romans 3:23 tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, we often struggle to love others perfectly because our own selfishness gets in the way. Joy can be hard to come by because we often get distracted by its near enemy, the fleeting happiness. And we forget that joy is something that we can experience even in the absence of momentary happiness. Peace can be really difficult to hold on to when we allow ourselves to be distracted by the ever-present concerns and cares of this world. All of us have our limits to our patience. If you are a young parent, then you've probably seen this many times, tested. And our children, who sometimes know how to push our buttons because they know where those buttons are, they unfortunately sometimes will find out that there are also limits to our kindness, our gentleness, and our goodness. And I don't say that to make light of the fact that of sin. It is just the present reality of our lives and our failures as humans. You know, our faithfulness to God is proven lacking every single time we sin. But I think perhaps the most important or easily relatable example would be self-control, this fruit of the Spirit, because I think when you look at self-control, it's kind of the, in my mind, the crowning jewel of these other ones because it interacts with all of them. In the face of temptations, we can sometimes white-knuckle our way through some specific moments of something that Satan has put in our path, rather than relying on God through prayer or by making use of the brethren that he's given to us to try and help us through those times of weakness. He's given us these tools, these pillars of support. And sometimes we're like, no, I got this. I don't need to do this. I can, as I said, white-knuckle my way through with self-control and come out fine on the other side. But it's important to remember that Satan likes to play the long game, right? So he might depart for a little while. We're told, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that is true. We can trust that. But he's going to come back. And I think sometimes he might dangle these little temptations in front of us to give us this false sense of security, knowing that he's got something big waiting for you on the other side. And when he returns with that bigger or stronger temptation the next time, will you again be able to white-knuckle your way through that temptation by using your own, whatever your own ability of level of self-control is to get through that? Are you going to be able to always escape from temptation on your own? That's why I find it's interesting that self-control is listed as a fruit of the Spirit, right? Because I think in very human terms, we like to think of self-control like it's a physical muscle, that we can just exercise it on our own and we get better at using it. In human terms, if you look at somebody who's very physically fit or strong or a fast runner, you probably look at them and you think, well, that's a really disciplined person. And you know what? You're right. If they are an elite athlete, then they are very disciplined, at least in one aspect of their life. But that same discipline that drives them to wake up early and go to the gym or run 5 miles every morning or eat only healthy, clean, organic foods, whatever it is they're doing to get to that elite level of performance, that doesn't always translate to discipline in their prayer life or self-control in how they react to bad news that they might receive at work or how they control their anger when they lose their patience with their children or struggle with sexual temptations that might be presented to them. Discipline in one area is not discipline in all areas. That is, we can all see that. The same is true with self-control. You might have great self-control in some areas of your spiritual life and very poor self-control in others. And sometimes I think when we have a really high level of self-control in one specific area, this thing just doesn't tempt me, that might make you feel like you should naturally be able to have that same level of self-control in everything else. But that's also just not true. So when God tells us that self-control is actually a fruit of the Spirit, then we should come away with the understanding that there's an extra layer to this that is beyond what man can naturally achieve on his own. The reality is that true self-control is a blessing we receive by deepening our reliance on God. It's a fruit that is born from deepening our relationship with him, by deepening our root system and grounding ourselves in his word and in the spiritual relationships that he's given to us in his church. And like I said before, I think this idea of self-control is very important because you see how it interacts with these other things. If you are having your patience tested, and you might be ready to lash out in a way that is not kind or good or gentle towards whoever is testing your patience, self-control will see you through, help you to bite your tongue or restrain your actions, whatever it is you're going to do. Self-control is what will keep you from doing things that are unfaithful to God, to your friends, to your marriage relationship, partner. Self-control is what allows you to turn off the news when it's overwhelming, when you're taking in too much and saying, woe is me, woe is this world, everything's falling down, the Chicken Little mentality. Self-control is what lets you push the power button on the clicker and say, I don't need this. Let me go to the Bible instead. Let me ground myself in something that will lift me up and not drag me down. If we want to be good at resisting temptation and having a true sense of self-control, then we should heed Paul's advice and walk by the Spirit, not relying on our own strength, but rather investing ourselves in the strength which God supplies, knowing that when we draw near to God, that he will draw near to us. He can grant us a greater measure of self-control and all the other fruits of the Spirit as well, far more than we could ever hope to achieve on our own. There are any of you who are struggling with exhibiting these qualities of the fruits of the Spirit this evening, or if you have not availed yourself of the waters of baptism that would save you and allow you to begin that journey of deepening your roots and deepening your relationship with God, then we stand ready to help you. Please come forward as we stand and sing.